This morning we are going to think about anger. It seems to me anger plays a big part in our lives. If you look at the history of humanity, our lives have been shaped by anger and even stained with the anger expressed in a destructive way. People, therefore, suffer with the consequences of anger, too. I don't think you need any more explanations on that. We have plenty of either personal stories or, you know, as a nation. Such a distinctive role of anger in our lives is also found in the Bible. For instance, there are 80 references on human anger. Of course, there are other references on divine anger, too. For your information, the Bible deals with emotions, and there are a number of references as follows. On love, there are 730 times. Isn't that great? No wonder. If you want to know how to love and what love is all about, you know which book you go to, Bible. What about fear? There are over 540 references on fear. If you're dealing with fear, whatever type of fear, you know which book you study, Bible. It'll tell you how to overcome your fear. What about joy and rejoice? Oh yes, there are 230 times. What about sorrow? 43 times. I don't know whether it's, I'm making this up, but they say, psychologists say that to compensate one sad news or bad news in your life, you need to bring in 5 times more of a joyful news. How many of you heard of it? I'm the only one. Anyway, it seems like the Bible talks about 230 times of joy when it talks about 43 times of sorrow. And of course, deals with happiness and sad and mad and sorry and all kinds of things. Now, in the past, some people told me, and I've seen some individuals believe that anger is bad. To be angry is a sin, they said. You should never be angry. How many of you heard of the expression? Am I the only one? That's a myth for the following 2 reasons. First of all, if anger is bad, why does the Lord God himself get angry at evil and with wicked people? For instance, the Lord Jehovah God was often provoked to anger, the Bible says, by the people of Israel whenever they followed the other gods. Furthermore, even our Lord Jesus Christ got angry with hypocrisy, commercialism in God's temple, stubborn heart, and even unbelief. The second reason why I believe it's a myth that anger is bad is a myth is because God acknowledges the legitimacy of our anger. He created us with emotions built in our brain. It is normal for us to get angry from time to time. Otherwise, how can God command us to be angry, as you heard in Ephesians chapter 4, yet do not sin? Let me tell you one more time. To get angry itself is not a sin. However, the way we express our anger can lead us to sin. Now I understand why some people say that anger is bad, because they've sinned too many times. That we do bad stuff, bad things, when we lose our control over anger. So here's the thing. Since anger is part of our human life, and we ought to live with it, and we need to learn how to handle it. We ought to master how to express our anger in a constructive way, in a God-approved way, so that we may not sin against God, so that we may not sin against our neighbors. We also need to learn to repent and reconcile with each other when we sin against each other in our anger. Now, so far I have observed, both in the Bible and in lives, that there are three ways that we direct our anger. First of all, we direct anger onto others. Second, we direct our anger onto ourselves. Third, we direct our anger onto God. So let's check them out one by one. First of all, venting out our anger on others. This is the approach to take own revenge. We vent out our anger on others in the form of rage, if you know some individuals. Now, this has been a long tradition in human history, as far as I can remember. For instance, Cain, who was the first son of Adam and Eve, first couple, and they had three sons. The first son's name was Cain, and they had a second son whose name was Abel. Cain was a farmer, and Abel was a shepherd. In due time, both of them brought their offerings to God. For some reason, God rejected Cain's offering, which was grain, but he accepted, you know, sacrificial animal from Abel. So Cain, the firstborn, was so consumed with rage against God. Why God accepted my brothers, yet rejected mine? He was so consumed with rage against God, so he lashed out his anger at his brother Abel and killed him. You see, he vented his anger on his brother. Now, the revenge may come out in different forms, such as emotional, mental, and financial, and verbal, and even physical punishment. However, the goal is always the same: to get even and to hurt and bring some type of punishment to those who wronged us. It may seem wise in the beginning to put the revenge in our own hands in the form of rage, but in the long run, it will make only the situation worse. If you know the expression or the principle they call eye for eye, tooth for tooth, they say it's in the Bible. Yes, it is in the Bible. But you know who've been following this principle of eye for eye, tooth for tooth, take your own revenge in your own hands? The conflicts between the Israeli and the Palestinians. Centuries and still going on. There is no hope of resolution here and ever escalating. Why? Because they take revenge in their own hands. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. By the way, for your information, when God says eye for eye, tooth for tooth, it was more like principle of, you know, compensating. Oh, I'm sorry I caused the damage onto your property, tree, and I repay back with the same type of tree. That's the principle of eye for eye, not for principle for just revenge. You see, people use all in the wrong reasons. Second approach is bury your anger within yourself. This is to bury and suppress your anger deep down within your subconsciousness. Now, this is subtle and destructive, and you hardly notice any symptoms of anger outside. And years later, it just explodes. And furthermore, this approach is more dangerous and harmful than the first approach, which is venting outward, because the suppressed anger will eat you up from within. It hurts the victim more than the victimizer. How many of you know that? We all know that. Why? Because it's from within. And the victims often suffer from what? Cancer. There are two more potential dangers in this second approach. Either the person could be suicidal, or the person fall into depression. I know the story of Mr. Elliot, who was a victim of the Lincoln Savings and Loan scandal in 1990. He lost $200,000, his entire life saving, on worthless junk bonds. He later became so bitter and angry about the whole situation that he took his own life. You see, suppressed anger made that person kill himself. The suppressed anger also could cause depression in the individual. Good example is King Saul. If you read the Bible, you know, the David, King David we heard about, King Solomon. But David was the second king in the kingdom of Israel. The first king, his name was Saul, S-A-U-L. When he became a king, he was very popular. He was a warrior and he defeated many enemies in war. That's why he became a king there. Except one. Goliath, a 10-foot-tall giant from the enemy of Israel, the Philistines. By the way, Philistines is the modern-day Gaza. If you hear about Israel and Gaza constant conflict, they're still fighting, isn't it? After thousands of years later. Anyway, so Saul couldn't defeat this Goliath. Actually, he was scared. And that's when David, the young shepherd, came in and he says, I'm going to go out and take care of this guy. And he indeed, he killed Goliath and led Israel to victory. Since then, people shouted in the ears of King Saul, David killed more than Saul. David killed more than Saul. Well, that comparison burned King Saul inside. It made him upset and ashamed of his own cowardice. So consumed with jealousy and anger, King Saul fell into deep depression and never recovered from it. The lesson? The repressed anger can trap us in a lifelong depression. The third approach is leave it to the Lord. The Bible says in today's, you know, Romans chapter 12, verse 9, never take your own revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. This approach is the healthiest and the most constructive way to handle our anger. Now, mind you that not everyone can nor desires this approach, because this approach requires your relationship with Jesus first. If you talk to someone who doesn't know God, who doesn't know Jesus, tell them that, why don't you leave it to God? They said, are you crazy? It doesn't make sense to them at all. Now, this approach of leaving it to the Lord also requires obedience and trust in the Lord. You know, there's good old words, trust and obey, how true it is in this anger business too. It further requires your daily discipline, practice, and patience. But it is the most rewarding if you do. Remember, without your submission to God's will, this approach will never work. By the way, do you want to be a hero to your children or to your family or to your friends? Let me tell you how you can be. Choose this approach. Learn to control your anger by leaving it to the Lord. Let me tell you why. Because it will, if you take this approach, it will build up your character. It is the best way to control your anger. You know, think of the images that the word promotes in terms of heroes. Who are the heroes? Captain America, Superman. Have you noticed that all these men are like bulky? I'm no match to them. Physically strong and athletic. I read an interesting article one man wrote, heroes may eat steak rare, shave with chainsaw, and punch bears. Boy, I've never done none of them. If these heroes are terrible in controlling their anger, they are no heroes in God's sight. Remember, God looks inside, not outside. Bodybuilding does not produce heroes. Rather, trust in the Lord does, because the Lord builds up our character so that we may control our anger. Listen to this. The man who has no control over his spirit here, but it's anger and emotions, the Bible says, he is like a city that is broken into and without walls. Who wants to have someone, city with no walls? Basically, no protection. You cannot rely on such a man. So the rest of my sermon, I'm going to tell you what's the divine way to control our anger. I'm going to use the acronym S-L-O-W, slow, slow. S stands for slow to anger. Did you know that God is slow to anger? And if you claim that you are, I am, a child of God, did you know that you are also called to imitate Him, to be like Him? So you may say, how can we be like God in this business of dealing with anger? Be slow to anger. So how can you do that? By being compassionate with each other. You know, to some folks, have you noticed that to some folks, compassion comes so easily. They're always kind and loving. To others, like, there's no compassion whatsoever. So I'm speaking to those folks. I have no compassion whatsoever. Be slow to anger. I'm telling you how you do it. Just remember, God hates sin, but loves the sinner. We have all heard about that expression. Now, I'd like to quote John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. This is what he said. Anger, as sin, is not evil, but we should feel only pity to the sinner. If we are angry at the person as well as the fault, we sin. Wow, I've never heard such a clear distinction explanation, Ephesians chapter 4. Be angry, but do not sin. That means that you hate the sin, what is evil, but you show pity to the sinner. Show mercy to the sinner like God does, who causes His Son, the sun in the sky, to rise on the evil and the good, and sends out the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The first one is slow to anger. L stands for let go and let God. We all use the expression too. Let go and let God take over your anger. The Bible clearly points out that vengeance is God's, not ours. Listen to what God says in Romans 12:19. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Which part you don't understand when God said, vengeance is mine, do not touch. But the rest of us, no, Lord, it's mine. I have no heart when God says, this is mine, do not touch. Yes, Lord, I will not touch. If you take that approach, you will get it. Vengeance is God's business, not ours. And plus, I'd rather trust in God's fair judgment than my own. You know, I think I'm getting more mature, I hope, as the year advances. It seems like there are times that I thought, this is a sure thing. And later on, I regret, oh boy, why did I do that? Why did I think of that? I'd rather trust in God's, you know, fair judgment in this business of vengeance. Let go and let God. Number three, O stands for overcome evil with good. Here's how we do it. Number one, the Bible says, pray for your enemies. I'm sure all of us have at least one or two individuals, enemies. Do you pray? Pray. Even though you don't understand why you're to pray. Here's another way to overcome evil with good. Bless your enemies instead of cursing. You know, a lot of us are so blind to the spiritual principle. When whatever you say, you have word, you know, power in your words. Okay? If I say, you know, Lisa, stand up, and she will stand up. Why? Did I do anything except saying? Because my word has power to make someone stand. So whatever you say, either blessing or curse. This is the spiritual principle we need to know. If the person, this is my enemy, if I curse that individual, the Bible says, if the person is deserving or worthy to receive my curse will rest on him. However, if the person doesn't deserve to receive the curse from me, guess what? The curse comes back to me. That's the spiritual principle, folks. That's why the Bible says, bless them. Same principle. If my enemy doesn't deserve to receive blessings from me, the blessing that I bestow upon him come back to me. And I get it. You don't want to get curse on you, right? By saying curses. And do good to them, especially when they are in trouble. God's word commands. And listen to the word of God again. In verse 20 in today's text, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Isn't this so, like, ironical, upside down thing? The world says, curse them, kill them. But Jesus says, nope, bless them. And by doing so, you're, you know, heaping the burning coals. I'd rather listen to Jesus' wisdom. Do not be overcome by your anger, but overcome it with trusting the Lord and obeying His word. The last word, W, stands for work it out. Reconcile. After the exchange of angry arguments, for instance, I'm speaking to the married couples, I'm one of them. We often, I know, in your marriage life, you never argued, eh? Raise your hand. And I'll call that person a liar. We all argue. You know, what I realized too is that unresolved arguments can create tension and conflicts in marriage. I truly believe more than half of the time, troubled marriages especially, can be restored and saved if the spouses know how to reconcile with each other after the arguments. You know, my record of not speaking to my wife, it's about 3 days. Anyone has longer period? Yay! The other day I was listening to the radio, this guy didn't speak to his wife for 3 weeks. I said, wow, that's record. What happens if you don't speak to each other and do not reconcile? The Bible says you give the devil an opportunity. You know, the devil's goal is one goal, as far as family is concerned, to break them up. To break them up. By all means. So by not speaking to each other after the arguments, you are giving the devil opportunity. I don't want that. I don't want that. So what you need to do is to develop your own strategy. The Bible says that do not let the sun go down on your anger. That's biblical command. Before you go to bed, you say sorry to each other. I'm sorry, honey, I didn't mean to, and so forth. But you need to follow some kind of biblical command. Develop your own strategy. So now my own strategy, I used to follow one day thing. And then half day, and 2 hours, and 1 hour, and 30 minutes. And now my personal principle, I'm not, you know, bragging about what I do, is 15 minutes. 15 minutes, folks. I force myself, I don't even expect my wife to come to me and I'm sorry. It's my job as the head of the household. And I said, honey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Okay, I don't bring up, you know, still you're wrong. No. I say that, honey, I know, you know, I didn't mean to, you know, say hurt feelings or whatever. So just 15-minute deadline I'm following. And there was a time I passed that deadline, right? I was so mad. And my wife came to me, honey, time is over. And since I'm talking about, you know, reconciling, I tend to take it personally. So I learned hard way over the years of, you know, argument and whatnot. I learned to separate the tone from the message. She sang in a very high-pitched tone, and I took it very, you know, personally. Oh, she didn't like me. But that wasn't the point. The point is that the message underneath. I said, okay, she's crying or whatever, yelling, but here the message I need to get, and so forth. And again, you need to develop your own strategy. Slow. You know, slow to anger, let go and let God. Number three, overcome evil with good and work it out. And you will be a much better person. Now, to be honest with ourselves, we all take three approaches. We vent out anger and, you know, bury it deep within our subconsciousness. Also, other times we take it to the Lord. But my point is that the more we take our anger to the Lord and let Him handle that, the less we take our own revenge, and the better off we will be, both spiritually and physically. You know, I've seen, sadly, in my 30 years of ministry, some lives destroyed through uncontrolled anger or lack of reconciliation. I've also seen people suffer from depression or suicidal thoughts after carrying their angers deep within for years. If you are one of them, today is the time. Do not put it off. To let go and let God handle your anger. Trust in God, His wisdom and His ways, because He knows what He's doing. He will do it for you when and only when you let Him. Submit to God to handle. You say, Lord, I have this anger. You take care of it. Today and every day, and you will be far better, happier too. Let's bow our heads and pray. It is perfectly all right, Lord, for us to feel angry at times, especially with injustice and evil things done to us, unfair. In those moments, like, what do? Instead of venting out our anger on others in a destructive way, instead of keeping within ourselves, help us come to you and say, Lord, teach me, lead me, handle this anger that I have. Yes, Lord, that's the way to do it. Anger is indeed a choice. Help us to make the right choice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.